Welcome to Gospel Mission Church's Message Podcast. We pray that God will meet you in this time with a fresh revelation of His love for you and that you will be challenged to align with the amazing plans that God has waiting for you. Here's this week's message from Pastor Claude.
Since it was a standalone message, I was in prayer and having conversation with God to say, God, what do you want me to share? I could talk about Abba or Heavenly Father. I could talk about so many different topics, right? And the seed that I got in my heart was that we're called to come to God with open hands. And for us men and for us fathers, but only not just for us fathers, for people in general, we have a tendency of caring a lot. And we want to fix things. And what God wants us to do first before we try to fix things, it's come to Him and realize that He is the one that is able to help us to carry and do what we're called to do. So sometimes we go to a book or we go to a person and we try to find solutions. And it's normal, we do that. But I believe the call is to go to God. And I believe that when we make God our refuge and we make God our hiding place and our solution, what happens is even when we don't see it, God brings people in our lives. God may give us a book to read. God may speak to you through a sermon like this morning, or God may reveal Himself to you as you read His word, and verses will pop up in your heart and give you this faith to go on. But one of the things that we need to realize is that we're called to go to God with open hands. And sometimes for us men or for being a leader or a parent, it's hard to do. Would you agree? Like to approach God with vulnerability, it's not always an easy thing to do. So in my sermon prep, I was thinking about this. I had this thought in my heart. And then I thought about Cornelius, and I wanted to look at Cornelius' life, and I will take a look at Cornelius' life. And then I looked at Acts chapter 10, and it talked about God opening the gate for the Gentiles through, I will call him Corny, right? Through Corny, that was a vessel for God. And then I start to think about, well, let's talk about the blessings of being filled with the Holy Spirit. So I came up with six different things of how it looks to be filled, the benefits of being filled with the Holy Spirit. But last night, as I'm reviewing my message, I hear this little whisper in my heart, Claude, remember when we had that first conversation about Father's Day? I wanted you to talk about Corny. Okay, so I'm looking at my notes. I'm saying, okay, if you have the weekly, you'll see that I'm talking about the benefits of the Holy Spirit. I'll talk about that later on in the fall in more detail. But I just want to be obedient to what I feel, what God wanted to speak to me. It was on Cornelius. And there's something unique about Cornelius, and I'd like to unpack that this morning. But for us as fathers, or if you're a younger father or a father-to-be, or if you were a seasoned father or a grandfather and you have a family tree, there's two things that we deal with. The first one is fear. When you are younger, you have this fear of, will I be a good father? Can I do this? How many of you that are father-to-be, or you are a young father and you have kids at home and you feel that? You don't have to raise your hand, but just say, yeah, that's sometimes how I feel. I feel that I'm inadequate. I can't do it. And I remember being in these shoes. Well, I don't know how I'm going to do that. You got three kids at home. Huh? How do you do this, right? You read books and all that, but it's more complicated. You got three kids and the three are different, right? They have all their own manual to follow. It's different. And then I can't imagine my grandmother had 21. So I just don't know how she did that. Anyway, that's another story. But you got the fear. And then the other part that you have when you're later on in life, it's dealing with guilt. Like, if I would go back, or if I would have, and you look back on the choices, the decision, all of... I feel I am in that stage where I look back and I can get caught in guilt, and I can get caught looking back and say, man, I'd like to go back now. I'm looking at my granddaughter. I'm saying, I wish I would have the experience now to be a daddy as I'm a granddaddy now. Like, I'd like to have that, but it wasn't the case. That's the reality. You did your best with what you have. But one of the things that I really believe that I want to share, what I have on my heart for you today, is that the foundation of when it comes to being prepared to raise your kids, or even though your past is not perfect and you would like to go back and fix stuff or do this and do that, you can encounter God, and God can give you what is needed for you to do what you're called to do. Like, I like this thought that God is able to give back the years that the lotus or the grasshopper has eaten. And sometimes we look back and we say, especially if you're a little older, you say, man, I wasted years. Well, you know, with God, God can redeem years. God is able to restore what is broken. God is able to do what, God is able to step in where we think we fail. This is why the heart of what I want to say to you this morning is that as I go to God, I believe that He will provide. I need to go. I need to realize when I go to God, He's going to provide. And I know one day when I'll meet with Him, when I will look at the journey of life, I will see Him provide the right person at the right time, the right reading at the right time, the right rhema at the right time as I go to God to His Word, the right song that I needed to hear in that moment, or the right conversation with the person that doesn't have a clue what they're saying, but it builds you in the inside. This is how God functions. And sometimes we get caught thinking that we're doing this life alone and journey. This is why we are challenged to walk in faith, believing that God is bigger than us, believing that God is around us, that He's before us, but He's also behind us, where He's able to bring healing where we thought it was impossible, or thinking about breakthroughs that we thought that they were not possible. So it's important for us to realize that, and it's to come to God with open hands. And Jesus talked to some degree at this level when He was talking to His disciple about the Holy Spirit in Luke chapter 11, verse 11. It says, "You fathers, if your children ask a fish, do you give them a snake instead? No. Or if he asks you for an egg, will you give him a scorpion? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to get good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?" So we're talking about the Holy Spirit. It's a provision. And we'll break that down later on. I don't have time to do that this morning. I'm looking forward to talk about that. But the Holy Spirit is our provision. He is our comforter. He is the one that walks with us. He is the one that empowers us. He is the one that talks to us. He is the one that brings conviction in us. He is the one that brings unity. He does everything as we surrender to Him, as we acknowledge Him, and as we go to God. And so I see this story in Acts chapter 10. And we're going to talk about the filling of the Holy Spirit in regard of the Gentiles. But it starts through this man called Cornelius. Who's Cornelius? Well, it says in Acts chapter 10, verse 1, who's corny, right? In Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion in what was known as the Italian regiment. So he was a centurion. What is a centurion? It's a man that is in charge of 100 soldiers. And so he was a person of influence, but not on top, because like you look at the Roman army, there was way more than 100 soldiers. But he was overseeing 100 soldiers, and he was in Caesarea. And it's kind of a paradox, because you think about, he's considered a God-fearing man, but he's a soldier of the Roman Empire on Israel land. And like, when you look at this story, it's kind of funny, right? Because you say, are you for God or are you against God, right? If you would be a Jew or an Israelite, and you would look at Corny, you would say, he's probably an enemy. Would you say? I think so. But Corny was on a journey. And we're all on a journey. And there's layer after layer after layer in that journey. And so we were on a journey, and here we are today. But I need to realize that I'm also on a journey, and there's work that God wants to do in my life. There's things that I don't understand perfectly. It's not all mapped out, and I don't know if I'm exactly where I should be, maybe. But God is on a journey, and we are on a journey, and God wants to reveal himself in our lives. And the story goes is that Peter was in Joppa, and he was at Peter. He was at Simon the tanner. And so what happened is that Peter is waiting for his lunch to come. He's on the top of the house, and then he falls into a trance. And he's seeing coming down from heaven a sheet of impure and pure animal, and God says, kill and eat. And so Peter has this argument with God, and he says, God, I'm not going to eat the impure animals because I've never ate any impure animal. And three times God tells him, kill and eat. And so he's a little confused. He doesn't know what to do with that. And at the same time, there's two guys that are coming from Caesarea in the name of Corny and says, hey, my master wants you to come. And then Peter puts one and one together, and he decides to go to Caesarea and meet Cornelius there. And if you look at Acts chapter 10, verse 30, we see Cornelius giving a snapshot of what happened. And you can read the whole chapter because it talks about the encounter that Peter had with God in regard of the Gentiles. And we see Corny receiving a revelation or an encounter with God that prepared his house and the Gentiles to come to the truth. And it says in verse 30, Cornelius talks to the people that are there when Peter shows up. Cornelius answered, 4 days ago, I was in my house praying at this hour at 3 p.m. Probably 3 p.m. was a time to take a break. How many of you are from Belize, Bolivia, South America, Mexico? Some of you, yeah. 3 o'clock, is it usually pretty hot? Yeah. So 3 o'clock, it was Marachloop time, fiesta time, right? It was time for, how do you call your drink that you drink there? Like, yeah, there you go. I don't even know how to say it, but it was probably a certain kind of tea. I can specify just in case those are watching online. What kind of drinks are they drinking in GMC? It's a type of a tea or something like it, right? And so 3 o'clock, we see this man. He takes time to pray. He focuses on God. And so it says, he tells a story at 3 p.m. Suddenly a man in shining clothes stood before me and said, Cornelius, God has heard your prayer, remembered your gifts to the poor. You see here again, your prayer focuses on God, gives to the poor, focuses on others, really fulfilling the two commandments of loving God and loving your neighbor. And then he says, send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He is a guest in the house of Simon the tanner, who lives at the sea. So I went for you immediately, talking to Peter. So it's good for you to come. Again, he's talking to Peter. And then he's serious. He looks at his household and he says, now we are here in the presence of God to listen to everything the Lord has commanded you to tell us. Well, I think it was easy to say that after being encountered by an angel, right? But you see Cornelius being open. We see him wanting to hear the word of God, but you see his heart that was tender, and it was tender before that. You know, we often hear men have to lead their house, right? And we're called to be examples. Actually, leading talks about more, way beyond telling or showing the way. It's about being an example. But I believe that cannot happen without an encounter of God. If there's not an encounter and a heart transformation or tenderness of heart in God's presence. I don't think we can do that. I don't think that we can lead our house on our own. I believe that we can lead our house under the influence of the Holy Spirit and by being impacted by the Holy Spirit, by being impacted by God. And I believe it should be organic that you lead because you encounter God. But it's hard to lead when you're not encountered by God, right? It's hard to move forward when you're not compelled by the Holy Spirit. And so we want to be compelled and we want to be moved by the Holy Spirit. But one of the things I see in this story of Cornelius is that God saw his heart and his intention. Like, you got to get the context here. He's not a Jew. He's a Gentile. But he adopted the God of the Jew, even though he's part of the Roman Empire as a centurion. This is where the confusion is, right? So he's there, and he's seeking God. At 3 o'clock, we see him pray. And beyond that, we see him share generosity to other people, probably not to Roman citizens, but probably to Israelite citizens, those that were beggars and those that had different health issues that were called to beg, or they were on the sideline. So we see this man, listen to this, we see this man that's not a Jew and approaching God. And we see this man that is not part of Israel, but we see him show mercy. There's something about his heart. What I really caught in this story is a man that had a heart for God. A man that had a heart for God. A man that went into prayer. A man that was conscious of his world and was willing to reach out. And I think that's so beautiful when we look at this story. And I was challenged by it, and I want to challenge you by it, that what God is looking for us as men, as ladies, as children of God, it's to have a heart for God, right? And to pursue God. And I think it's so important for us to have this order right when we pursue God. Listen, when we rely on God and we come to him, this is where he works, right? Like I said earlier, we might know exactly, we don't know all the details of this and that, but you go to God, you're conscious of the people around you and you bless other people, and God works. And that's what happened in Cornelius' life, right? And it says here that God heard his prayer. God heard his prayer. It's pretty cool, right? Wouldn't you like to have an angel that appears to you and say, God heard your prayer? I would. But we have his word, and his word confirms that if we seek, ask, and knock, he's going to reveal himself to our lives, right? There's so many verses, so many texts in the Bible that says that when we approach God, we will not leave his presence empty-handed, right? And so we see this man that was praying. I don't know what he was praying for, but I assume, just an assumption, that he was praying for his family. That he was praying for the Israelites that were under oppression and probably asking God, how do I do this? And thinking about his 100 men that he led, how do we do this? How can I honor the God of the Hebrews and how can I fulfill my job as a centurion? And asking God for wisdom. And God says, I've heard you. And in chapter 10, we see the answer to that when it comes to the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And so it's important for us to see that when we pray and we turn to God, we don't know what's going to come from that. We don't know the outcome of that. Again, you look at this man that was a centurion, that was a Roman. He didn't have access to the temple because he was not a Jew. So he had to stay on the outside. And he was not a son of Abraham. So when we look at this, we say, what is his hope, right? Like, he's not favoritized, is that a word? Like, he's not part of the in people. He's on the outside, but he's seeking God. And he's having a heart for other people. And you know what? God sees that. Can I just pause here and say that God sees your prayers, that God sees you at 3 o'clock in your house when you seek him. And you know, when I say 3 o'clock, is we all have 3 o'clocks in our lives. It might not be 3 o'clock, but It's like instead of going to your phone, instead of going to your TV, instead of going on whatever app that you go, is that you go to God. And you say, God, touch my 100 men. Touch me as I'm called to lead this. I don't know what to do. Touch the Israelites. And God, may you be praised and be honored. Something comes out of that. Are you listening? Something comes out of that. I'll repeat it in a different way. Something will come out of that. You do not do that without having something come out of it. You see? Because that's the way that God has designed things to be. So when you seek Him and you desire Him and you place Him in your life, He starts to work in your behalf, starts to work around you, even though you might not understand. Do you think that this man knew that having his time at 3 o'clock with God and taking care of others, that he would become the gateway for the Gentiles? No way in 100 years. You see? It's the same thing with my life and your life. We don't know what God has in store. We don't know what He will do through me and through you. We don't know it's easy hindsight to look back, but when we are where we are dealing with our junk and our situation and the storyline that we're in, sometimes we are overwhelmed. But you go to God. You go to God. Even if the odds are against you, you go to God, you see? And then you take care of other people. You're not focused on you. You're not the belly button of your life or the God's belly button. You look at other people and you show generosity. And God sees that and God honors that. I think it's so amazing. Like he was a regular dude, like in a weird position. And he didn't have a clue what was going to happen. But God had a plan bigger than him, you know? And I look at this and I think it's so amazing. Like I said, he was not a Jew or an Israelite. And like I said, he was not able to go to the temple and fit in like all the other Jews. He was not a son of Abraham, but he had a hunger for God. He chose the God of the Israelites, even maybe being mocked and ridiculed because the Roman had multiple gods. They borrowed or they took all the gods of the Greeks and had a few of them for themselves. So we see him being a God-fearing man. I like what it says in Acts chapter 10 when Peter shows up to Cornelius' house and he gives his testimony. He says, Peter is saying, we are witnesses in Acts chapter 10 verse 39. We are witnesses of everything he did talking about Jesus in the country of the Jews in Jerusalem. So he has to specify the country of the Jews in Jerusalem because Caesarea was just on the edge. And so some people were not really aware of what happened in Jerusalem when Jesus died. So Peter says they killed him by hanging him on the tree, and God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. In verse 43, it says, all the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. While Peter was still speaking, this is one of the funniest verses for me as a preacher. Is this one here. While Peter was still speaking these words, like he was not done talking, maybe he was long-winded, I don't know. Maybe he was just like so excited he was talking. And I don't know if the Holy Spirit had a conversation with the Father or with Jesus and say, hey, is it okay if I come in even though he's not finished? I don't know. But it says, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they heard them speak in tongues and praising God. And that was very important for the Jews or the circumcised believers to see hear them speak in tongues, because it was the proof that, oh man, God is at work. Because how would have they known if how the Holy Spirit was alive in them? And so they see him speaking in tongues, and so they were able to go back to Jerusalem and say, well, they received the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. But here it says, for they heard them speak in tongues and praising God. Then Peter said, can anyone keep these people from being baptized with water? They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have. So in order that, so he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked Peter to stay with them for a few days. Like what I wrote beyond my notes is that Cornelius was on a journey not knowing exactly where God would lead him, but God had a plan for him. And the thing we find here is that he had a heart when he said, we are willing to obey all that you say. So he had a tender heart. And we see Cornelius, like I said, being the doorway for the Gentiles. Before the gospel stayed to the Jews. That's at this point here, when Peter was at Simon the Tanner, he was reaching the Jews. Now God had a tremendous plan of reaching the nations, me and you. It happened through Cornelius. It happened because of God's plan, because God orchestrated everything, but because a God-fearing man. It just stirs my heart. If you are here this morning, if you're a woman or a man or younger or older, God wants to work through you. And you don't know where it will go, right? And sometimes you may feel that everything is messed up, right? Where you are today, it seems to be messed up in your job and in your life desires when it comes to your family and so on. It seems to be messed up. But realize that God has a plan. You see? Like, he was confused. Centurion, Jew following the God of the Hebrews, caught in between leading 100 men into the land of the Jews. What to do? But what do you think happened after when he met his 100 men? What do you think happened then? Must have been an amazing story. Hey guys, you know, you probably laughed at me when it came to being following the God of the Hebrews, but this is what happened, and boom, 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 the anointing, the work of the Holy Spirit. And the story goes is that it just exploded from there and went through the known world. But I like that picture of this gate guy that is Cornelius that God worked through. So I want to challenge you, fathers. I want to challenge you, all of you, to realize that being God-fearing, desiring God, having time with him at 3:00, opening your eyes to the needs of others, believing that God is at work, and you serve him, you follow him, and God just does what he does so well. We've got some young people in university. We got some men that are involved in business. You got stay-at-home mom. You're raising up your kids. It doesn't matter where you are or where God has planted you. He wants to work through you. But the key, listen, the key is very simple. It's to have a heart for God, to be sensitive, and to walk with expectation, knowing that God has a call on you and a call on me. And wherever it goes, it's going to be amazing because God is in it, even though for a season it seems to be, I don't know, right? Are you in a place where you say, I don't know? It's okay. It's okay. Let God lead. And later on you'll be able to, I can guarantee you, because that's the God of the Bible, not me. It's not my words, the God of the Bible, that you trust and you rely on him, you come to him, you look back, and you'll say, okay, God, I get it. I wish sometimes I would get it now, but I don't always. But I will if I'm a God-fearing man that seeks after him, that sees the need of others and pursues him, God will make a way. Amen? I would ask you to stand.
Thanks for listening. If there's anything we can do to help you along in your journey, email prayer@gmchurch.ca. If you'd like to see what's coming up at Gospel Mission Church or learn more about us, visit gmchurch.ca.